I will start my series of teachings, which I titled Learning from Moses, all right? And what we want to do in that series is to read, let's see, the things in the life of Moses that we are supposed to take instructions from. The Bible says that these things were recorded for our learning. They were recorded so that we will learn. They were recorded for our instruction. Paul was writing to the Corinthians and he was explaining that. So, we want to see what we have in the life of Moses for us to learn from. So that will take us a number of weeks. You remember when we're studying from the book of Ruth, we have certain lessons we picked from the book of Ruth. The summary of the lessons we are going to pick from the book of from the life of Moses is in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. Good enough, we are starting the book of Hebrews on Tuesdays. We took a break to do some school of prayer matter. But we're studying the book of Hebrews in our school of Bible exegesis. We have not read the book of Hebrews chapter 11. But we'll get there. So this is just in tune with everything. So let's read that summary of the things we are going to learn from the life of Moses. Most of them are recorded here. Many may not be there, but we'll pick them up as we go on. They are crucial lessons to learn from his life. We'll start from the book of Hebrews chapter 11. I'm going to read from verse 1, but just as an introduction, but we are starting from verse 23, really. The Bible says in verse 1, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it, men of old gained approval. He now said in verse 23, by faith, Moses, when he was born, not him now, but his parents, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's edict. Now, verse 24, it said, by faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, considering the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. The Bible says, by faith he left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is unseen. By faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, so that he who destroyed the firstborn might not touch them. We are going to learn all these things. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as though they were passing through dry land, and the Egyptians, when they attempted it, were drowned. As we go on in life, you will see that there will be many Red Seas you will pass through in life. As we go on in this teaching, you will see that there will be many Red Seas you pass through in life. And those who will try and copy you, will only end up drowning. I say all the time, the life of a Christian is not a game of chance. It's not a game of plotting. You can read all the business books, all right, that teach proper, sound business principles, and I'm not saying you shouldn't read them. What I'm just trying to explain is the fact that you will see a man who is blessed by God, he will break all those rules and he will still succeed. Arjun Lotuno said that if he had known the laws that governed accounting in business, he would not have done his business. But because he did not know it, he broke all those laws. He did everything that was upside down, he did all the things he did accounting wise were upside down. But he succeeded. Not because it is normal, but because the Red Sea parted by the instruction of God for him. And that's what we are supposed to learn from the life of Moses. We'll read that also as we go on. So those who copy you may be drowned. Just by the way, I'm just getting ahead of myself. Don't be angry with me. I told you before, I used to argue with people a lot. I used to argue. But now I don't anymore. My wife can testify. Sometimes, once you toss words up and I say two things, I keep quiet. I told you before, she's the one that wants to change the world. I just want to preach the gospel. The Lord is good. Now, this is my reason why I stopped arguing with people. I found out that except you have seen what I am seeing, you cannot act the way I'm acting. Are you getting my point? And those are the reasons why people argue. You want people to act the way you are acting when they are not seeing what you are seeing. You follow what I'm saying? So what happens is that if people follow you, they may go wrong. I look at the way I've lived my life. If you don't have faith, if you don't believe in God, if God is not blessing you, if God doesn't have... Look, listen, things will go wrong. Are you getting my point? Take no thought for the morrow is for Christians. Unbelievers are supposed to plan for tomorrow. What we shall eat, what we shall drink, wherewithal shall we be clothed. If you are an unbeliever, please, better worry. He said, after these things the Gentiles seek. Better seek it if you are a Gentile. He said, but you. You understand my point? It means your life is different. So if you are not one of those whose lives are controlled by God and who have God as their father, please, don't encourage an unbeliever to live like you. Because your life, all right? Unless you are the one copying an unbeliever. What you should say to an unbeliever is, you must be born again. I thought about it today. I'm getting ahead of myself. Let me continue reading. The Lord is good. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been encircled for 7 days. He now said, as part of that, verse 31, by faith, Rahab the harlot did not perish along with those who were disobedient after she had welcomed the spies in peace. That's where the narrative that concerns the life of Moses ends, in that book of Hebrews chapter 11. All right, the Lord is good. Now, so that's a summary of the things we are going to be seeing from the life of Moses. We are going to pick some things that may not be listed here, but that are very important, that we'll read from the stories from the book of Genesis down to Deuteronomy. We'll see, but we're looking not at the story of the old covenant per se. We're looking at how Moses walked with God, because you must understand that that was a very highly regarded man in the eyes of God. Just for emphasis, quickly open to the book of Jeremiah chapter 15. You see the way God regarded Moses. Maybe I should start my message with that. Are we all equal before God? I have a tract on that. Please go and read it. If you haven't, you can read it from our website. If you cannot lay your hand on a physical copy. God said to Jeremiah in chapter 15, verse 1 of the book named after him. He said, then the Lord said to me, even though Moses and Samuel were to stand before me, my heart would not be with these people. Send them away from my presence and let them go. Even though Moses and Samuel, what am I trying to bring out from there? In the amongst men, if I dare to say in the old covenant, until the time of John, there was nobody greater than Moses. Are you getting my point? And when it comes to, forget even what people saw, all right, in the lives of people. But when God's assessment was to be heard, he made it clear to Jeremiah that when men will pray, they are in categories. Are you getting my point? Moses was in a different category. Moses and Samuel. That tells you the kind of regard God had for Moses. This was after he had died. He was speaking to Jeremiah because Jeremiah was praying for the people. And God told him, you are still a small boy in this prayer matter. Let me tell you, those who have gone ahead of you, who I regard their prayers with seriousness, if they prayed on this matter, I would not even hear. What does that tell you? Men are not all equal before God. I say that all the time. But the only thing we should just add to it is that the place you get to with God is decided by you, not by him. Are you getting my point? It is not decided by God. In that light, everybody is the same. We all have the same potentials. We can all get to the same place. Are you getting my point? Jesus is our forerunner. Whatever he got to, we can get there. All right? What he came to do was to open a door. I am the way. Are you getting me? It's a journey. We are passing. We are walking. All right? In the journey in life to get to where Jesus got to. But the point is that the amount of effort and determination we put in is what decides where we get to in reality. You follow what I mean by that? It's what decides where we get to in reality. Moses got to a very high place with God, and God had to, at a point, refer to him so as to make a point to Jeremiah. I don't want to just talk about Moses. This is not about Moses, really. This is about you. It's about me. It's about our walk with God. So I need to emphasize that. That was because Moses did some things correctly. And we can also copy, taking the example from the life of Moses, concerning what there is to do correctly in our walk with God, so that God will also look at us. Listen, when the Lord looked at the Lord Jesus Christ and said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. You know, the mistake we make sometimes unconsciously, I say that all the time, is that we think that was because he was born a son of God. We think that unconsciously, in our mind, we're thinking consciously about it. So, we think he's just in a class of his own. So, whatever he did was just Jesus Christ. Are you getting my point? We don't realize that when the Lord made that statement, he made that statement as a reason, all right, as a consequence of what the Lord Jesus, as a human being, had done in his presence on this earth. He made that statement because he had walked with him all these years, and that was a proof. Are you getting me? It's like you went to study. You study under a professional superior. And after a while, maybe you're a lawyer or you're a doctor or you're something, or you're an artist, whatever you are. He now says, no, I will not be able to go. That man can represent me. It's not because he likes you. You know, you don't do such things because you like somebody. You say, this fellow can represent me because you have worked with him. Are you getting my point? I mean, I remember those days when I was a resident doctor in Luth. One day we made a diagnosis, I know, on a histologic specimen, and I took to my chief, all right? And she looked at it and said, no, she saw what we wrote. And she said, did Adeyi see this? Now, Adeyi is one of our seniors, all right, but inferior to her. She was a big chief. And there was one chief in between us. Are you getting me? So we wrote a lot of nonsense, you know, we're learning. So she looked and just said, did Adeyi see this? And I can't remember exactly what we said, whether yes or no. But the thing is that she was so confident that if he saw it, we couldn't write this rubbish. Are you getting my point? Yes. That is, just for that, listen, if that guy saw it, she has so much confidence in him. And those days when we'll go and put, literally, we used to write reports, put her name on it, and give her to sign. And she would look and say, who saw it? We just mentioned Adeyi. Once she hears the name Adeyi, she signs. Now, by law, that means that if anything is wrong, she's responsible. We put her name because the guy was not a big chief, and it's a big chief's responsibility to sign. And she knows we are small, small boys. You understand my point? So we'll come. We have written the report. We have looked at this slide. We think everything is in order. We just come, chief, sign. We just look. Who saw it? We just mentioned that guy's name, and she puts her signature. What she was saying is that is my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased. There's nothing. It's not a personal love. You understand my point? It's a professional love. You understand my point? That is, I'm certifying that he's good. I'm telling you, if he says this, it must be correct. Because I have breathed my spirit into him. I have walked with him. I have tested him. I can assure you that if he says this, he's correct. And I'm saying that from experience. And that's what God was saying about the Lord Jesus Christ. He wasn't saying that this is somebody I sent to go and save the world. That's not the point. The point is that having sent him, I have tested him. I told you before that the temptations of Jesus Christ that were written, three of them, those were not the only times he was tempted. He had been tempted for a very long time. Those were the summary when the devil got desperate that something great is about to happen. Those are the things that the devil did out of, like, I like to put it like this, as a summary of all the experiences of his life. What am I trying to explain? Where he got to because he walked with God. When God said, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased, it means I've tempted him with money. He did not steal. I've tempted him with women. Did not run after them. I've tempted him with this. I've tempted him with everything. I've tempted him with complaining. I've allowed life to press him. Based on the instructions I gave him, he did what he was supposed to do. Now I'm beating my chest to say I'm behind him all the time. So I say, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Whatever he tells you is my mind. I don't know whether I get my point. That's why I hear him. He said, whatever he tells you is my mind. It's my opinion. But listen, my emphasis again is that if Jesus could do it, you can do it. If Moses walked with God to a level that God was using him as a reference for Jeremiah, that means we also can walk with God to that level. That thing is available for everybody. Listen, you know, Christians or human beings, we like to, I just put somebody there in a class of his own, I idolize people, and be, as if we can never reach that thing. No, please, in Christianity, we must never think like that. And the reason why I'm doing this series of teaching is to bring it to our minds again. We are supposed to strive. Are you getting my point? We're supposed to what? Strive. Listen, please, let me say it again. We are supposed to strive. We must not be content, you know? I remember Godons was singing. He said, I not get faith like that the other way. Or blow grammar like Chris Okoti. You know, he was just talking people here. That, you know, was endless things about how some men are great. Listen, it's good to recognize the greatness of men. But it is forbidden for you to think only that man can be like that. Do you follow my point? If you recognize something great in people, you are supposed to aspire to it. And when it comes to faith, that's the way it's supposed to be. While we're looking at Moses, we'll see where he made his mistakes. You see, there's something that God said about Moses, that he was the meekest. Now, please, there's a reason why I want to emphasize that. You see that God loved him so much, but the guy made mistakes. The first time he killed an Egyptian, it was murder. So in case you mistakenly kill somebody too, it doesn't mean your life has come to an end. The first time he started rioting so as to free the people, he was going against the will of God. All the days in the palace, I hope I'm not wrong what I'm about to say. He did every nonsense thing that Egyptian princes were doing. Yes, believe me, he did. And you see, as we go on, you see one thing about life is when God brings you to the point of change and repentance, that's when he starts holding you accountable. I told you before, when God said to Samuel, to Saul through Samuel, that because you rejected the word of God, it wasn't that he said, wipe out the Amalekites, and he refused. That was not the rejection. It was when they brought a word of correction, and the guy still insisted that he had done no wrong. That was when God gave up on him. Stubbornness is the worst thing, one of the worst things you can do to yourself, all right? To have as a trait with God. Anybody can make mistakes. In fact, if you have not made the mistake, you have not begun to live. If all your life has been very, very straight, I'm feeling sorry for you. No, I'm serious. That's not supposed to be a joke. I go look, just shake my head, say, now, wow, trouble they come. At least I feel sorry for you. All my life, I've already been straight, praying proper. You go, soon jam. You have to jam. If you don't jam, you won't know God. That's a matter of fact. That is a matter of fact. When God really gets angry with people, it's when they have done it wrongly. And then he corrects them. And for whatever reason, they refuse to know that. No. Some, they refuse because, how am I going to go back? I'm sorry to say, a lot of pastors, that's what our problem is going to be. How am I going to go back and tell people that this thing I've said is wrong? Pride. Because they better go back. You don't even have to go back. Just leave them and go away. Some is like, no, I can't be wrong. I don't know how they decided it. They just made up their mind. They can't be. God has shown them through many ways that they are wrong. We'll still discuss this in details, all right? One of the ways by which God showed Moses that he was wrong was that when he tried to liberate the children of Israel, they did not follow him. Yeah, you don't know that? We know go gree. They were looking at him. Gree about what? Are we complaining? When he found himself alone, the people was fighting for, they stayed behind. He knew something was out of order. But some people still insist that's the proper thing to do. That's when God has a problem with you. I'm going to say something here. So you see, Moses was never a perfect man. So for God to look and say this man was the meekest, let's just read that. It's good to have our references correct. All right. Now let's read that from the book of Numbers, chapter 12. In fact, it's a good want to read at this point, just to talk about the man Moses again and see what God said about him. And of course, like I was saying, it's not just to talk about Moses that's the issue, but it's to let us know that if Moses could do it, you can do it. No matter what life has been like for you, you can do it. Numbers chapter 12. The Bible says, then Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because of the black woman he had married. The Bible says, because of the Cushite woman he had married. For he had married a Cushite woman. And they said, as the Lord indeed spoken only through Moses, has he not spoken through us as well? The Bible says, and the Lord heard it. Just by the way, that was confusion. Aaron was just deceiving himself. Did God ever speak through Aaron? Not aware. Maybe he did. Along the line, we'll find out. But the truth is that Moses spoke through Aaron. If you go and read it, when God met Moses, he said, you will be God to Aaron. So whatever you want to say, tell Aaron. Aaron will be the spokesperson. Have you ever been to, well, maybe modern day mosques must have upgraded. But those days, the, you know what they call Alpha? I don't know what they call it. That's the the cleric, the Muslim, Islamic cleric, used to go around with a megaphone, and that megaphone was a human being. So the man would sit down, he was supposed to preach. He would say something like, it is good to be good, something like that. And the guy beside him would raise his voice and say, Afa said it is good to be good. That's how it was on my side of the country. I didn't know about here. You guys don't have a mosque around here, all right? So that was what Aaron was to Moses. I can just imagine them entering the palace of Pharaoh. And Moses would just tap Aaron. Aaron would bend and whisper something. And Aaron would raise his voice and say, let my people go. Thus says the Lord, that they may serve me in the wilderness. He would look, Moses will nod. And then Moses would keep quiet. Yeah, really. That was some kind of relationship. So I guess the guy got confused that after what I was speaking were the words of God. So he said, has God not spoken through me also? Wait. The gist, however, all right, is not about them. It's about the response of God. The Bible says in verse 3, now the man Moses was very humble, more than any man who was on the face of the earth. That was God's assessment of it. This was a man who could not hold back his anger. In his anger, he killed somebody. Yet, when God was going to look at him at a point, he said he was very humble. King James uses the word meek. Not only was he humble, when they rated every man on the face of the earth, he was the most humble of the lot. And verse 4, suddenly the Lord said to Moses and Aaron and to Miriam, you three come out of the tent of meeting. Now this is the point. Read verse 6. He said, hear now my words. If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, shall make myself known to him in a vision. I shall speak with him in a dream. Not so with my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my household. Please, everybody repeat that. Again, that was God's assessment. I believe that faithfulness in doing what God called you to do in your walk with God is what marks you out as different and makes you attain to a high level with God. That is a matter of fact. In our walk with God, there is a matter of attainment. What I mean is this. Not as to achieve things for ourselves on the earth. The only thing we are supposed to attain to, all right, is for God to say, like one man said, all he wants in life is that one day he will die and God will look at him and say, well done, good and faithful servant. Every other thing you see on the earth is what Bishop Oyedepo will call a receivement, not an achievement. The only achievement that you are supposed to labor for in life is for God to look at you and nod. Are you getting my point? Say, that is my person. This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. If you have to sell all that you have, burn your certificates, whatever it is to achieve that, it's worth it. Are you following what I'm trying to explain? The Lord spoke kindly about Moses. He said, he is faithful in all my household. With him I speak mouth to mouth, even openly and not in dark sayings. And he beholds the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant, against Moses? So the anger of the Lord burned against them, and he departed. Let me just stop there. Now, why did I read this? I read this so that we'll just understand the stature that Moses had in the eyes of God. Let me just say this quickly. You must understand something about the Lord Jesus Christ. There is nothing about these people, Moses, Abraham, you understand? All the people listed in the Hall of Fame of Faith in that Hebrews chapter 11, there's no trait of them that was not found in the Lord Jesus Christ. So actually, when we are studying the lives of these people, we are bringing out, because you see, the Bible didn't say too many things in details about the life of Jesus. For example, how we attain to this issue. This is my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased. We don't know much about it. Because essentially, the narrative of his life began from that point. You understand? They said a bit about when he was a baby. Then the next thing we hear about him, all right? Of course, we heard something about when he was 12. The next thing we hear about him It was when he was an adult, 30 years of age, about to step into ministry. And we heard God say, "This is my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased." What I'm going to explain. Now we have understood that he didn't make that statement because he was born, of a virgin. No. He made that statement because, are you following me? He had walked with God. That the Lord made the statement about his life. What am I saying? The things that brought him to that level, it wasn't discussed. But we can find them in the lives of other people like Abraham, like Moses. And I believe, if I speaking now, there's a conviction that came upon my spirit. That's why God did not bother. That listen, the sum of, when I talk about Jeremiah, all right? Okay, I was talking to Jeremiah now, that the Lord was saying, I refer to Moses and I refer to Samuel. What was it about the lives of Moses and Moses and Samuel that made me beat my chest about them? Whatever it was, you can be sure of one thing. I found it in my son, Jesus Christ. That was why I said, "This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased." So I didn't have to write it again. Are you following what I'm going to explain? What was it about David that made the record of his life be that there was never anything he did wrong apart from the case of Uriah? What was it about him? What was it that I loved so much about him that I said, "This is a man after my heart"? If you can discover that, all right, be sure of one thing, it was found in the Lord Jesus Christ. So I didn't have to repeat the whole details about the Lord, about the life of Jesus before that point. All the things you are studying in the lives of these other people are all put together and found in him. That's why the Bible says that he is the author and finisher of faith. Literally, there's no our faith there. What he was saying is this. That is, anything that has to do with the completion, the perfection of a walk with God was to be found in him. What am I saying? We're not trying to be like Moses. Listen to this. I don't know whether you're hearing what I'm saying. But let's read it quickly. You see it. At the end of that Hebrews chapter 11, he says something, verse 1 of chapter 12. "Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith." Let me just stop there. That's the person who we are trying to be like. That's the person we are beholding. So why are we looking at somebody like Moses? Are we trying to fix our eyes on Moses? No. We are trying to discover the part of God, the part of Jesus that was not explicitly written, but they were encoded in one statement. "This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased." Are you following what I'm explaining? Are you following what I'm explaining? Listen, that is, whatever it is that Moses did that is to be emulated, you can be sure it was found in Jesus Christ. We are trying to be like Jesus. We are just studying, because you see, the summary that we are using to look at the life of Moses, we picked from this commentary in Hebrews chapter 11. Moses had traits in him that are part of what the Bible calls the Spirit of Christ. Yeah, that's a good way to put it. And we are trying to attain to that. Remember what I said? It's what? Striving. Say it again, striving. Listen, he said it, labor to enter into his rest. One of the things, if I let's read this so that I can begin to say the things I want to say. Now, let's start. The first thing I want us to understand from the life of Moses, verse 23. It says, "By faith Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents." That is, it was not Moses that hid himself. It was his parents that hid him. Why did they do that? Because they saw he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's edict. Let me stop there. That's all we'll be able to discuss today. I'm sure before our time runs out, then we'll go into other things next time. Now, please follow me. There are two things I want to bring out from here. One of them I was about to start speaking. I said, let me just read this. All right, I was about to start speaking on it. I said, let me just read this first. So, I'll discuss that in a moment, but let me just point something else out. There are two things we are going to see here. Two things in this particular portion. One, that his parents were the ones that hid him the first time. And then number two, the reason why they did that. We'll discuss what it means to the word beautiful. Because I think every child is beautiful. Amen? Amen? To the parents, yes, every child is beautiful. So there must be something about this for the Bible to qualify that they saw he was a beautiful child. We are going to apply it. Sometimes it appears as if I'm stretching it, but trust me, it's the word of God. But what I want to bring out first of all is the fact that he did not hide himself. It was his parents that hid him. But I think I should add this one to it. He now said in verse 24, by faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused the place where his parents sent him to. I just put a clause in it. That is that clause, I added it. Let me just give us a background. We'll read it. Or should we read it now? Yes, quickly, let's read it so that I can get this thing. I'm trying not to lose track of what I'm trying to explain. Let's go back to that beginning of Exodus to quickly get the story right. Chapter 2. Now a man from the house of Levi went and married a daughter of Levi. And then the woman conceived, bore a son, and she saw that he was beautiful. And she hid him for 3 months. Then when she could hide him no longer, she got him a wicker basket and covered it over with tar and pitch. Then she put the child into it and set it among the reeds by the bank of the Nile. And his sister stood at a distance to find out what would happen to him. Then the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the Nile with her maiden walking alongside the Nile. And she saw the basket among the reeds and sent her maid, and she brought it to her. Then she opened it and saw the child. Behold, the boy was crying. And she had pity on him and said, this is one of the Hebrews' children, because she knew what had been going on before then. Then his sister said to Pharaoh, that is Moses' sister, Miriam, jumped out from where she was hiding, observing that child. When we were young, we thought the mother kept the child there to float away, hoping that something would happen, you know, that God take care of her, him. That was not what happened. I want to explain something to us clearly here. This girl was there. It was a plan. The mother planned to give that child to Pharaoh's daughter. I don't have time to explain it in details, but trust me. I wouldn't lie to you. If I was in doubt, I wouldn't bring it up. That was why, verse 7, then the sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and call a nurse for you from the Hebrew women that she may nurse him? And he said, go ahead. And this little girl went and called her mother. Let me tell you the truth. It was a plan. She didn't keep the child there and then say anything can happen like I thought when we were children. Kept the child there where this king's daughter normally comes to bathe. Knew when she would come. And put the girl there to be observing. It was a plan. They knew what would happen. Whether it's God that revealed it to them, or God revealed it to them, they did not know it was God. Whichever way, the plan worked. His mother, I believe with the agreement of his father, sent him into Pharaoh's house. That is a matter of fact. They did it by faith. They did it believing that God would make this plan work. But this is the point. When he grew up, he rejected the plan. Now, this is what I'm trying to say. There are many more things to say about that. Let's just pick this one first. I was saying earlier, when I said, let me just read this to get it clear, so that we understand everything I'm saying. I said, this is striving. Let's go over that again. We're striving, all right? Now, one of the things I hate in life to hear from people, and then you've heard me teach about it. If somebody says to me, this is how it is done in our place, and thinks that makes it right to continue doing it, for a Christian is spiritual stupidity. Again, I've heard this a lot of times. That's why I hate it. Somebody say, you know, in our house, you know, I grew up where we all had to struggle for meat, so I'm very aggressive. You understand my point? You know, we are 9 children and we used to eat from a big plate, so you have to struggle for meat. Listen, now that you know where your problem started, instead of sitting down there and saying, this is what my problem is, I said it's worth striving. You strive to overcome it. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? You know, I told you before, when we're talking about learning truth, you know, you like to read. Listen, there is nothing like I like to read. Every trait in life is either good or it is bad. If it is bad, you reject it. If it is good, you strengthen it. You know, I have children and they've been such a beautiful way by which God has been teaching me things. One of my children, more than one of them, the teacher will complain that he writes slowly. Do you follow? When he's in school, he says he writes slowly. Now, a lot of people say that, praise God, I have a child that writes slowly. He was born like that. You know, like Americans are telling us about homosexuality. He was born like that since he was small. He used to write slowly. So if you see him these days, he's still walking slowly. He sleeps slowly. He thinks slowly. Do we say that? No, do we say that? Answer me. What do we do? It's simple. He writes slowly. It becomes an assignment in the house. Olubinga, if you can write 10 lines within the next few minutes, you get this. So Baba go look. For the joy that is set before him, he will, do you know what I'm saying? Then, you know, you start pushing him. Write fast. What are you doing? No. Then when he's like, he's not listening to instructions, supposed to be writing, he's peeping at what game somebody's playing across the room, you turn it to punishment. You use the carrot and the stick to overcome, he writes slowly. Now, if we have enough sense as human beings to do that, why is it that when it comes to our own personal traits, we make excuses for them? You know, you like to read. I'm not like that. I'm a restless person. And we say it with this kind of, take it like that, though. Don't, you know, when you watch many films, they are going to send you out of your godly mind. No, that's who you are. You just have to accept who you are. If who you are is not Christ-like, better go and drown who you are and resurrect with Christ-likeness. I tell people all the time, I say, you know me, I don't like to talk. If you need to talk, learn to talk. Do you follow my point? Don't stop telling me I don't like to talk. And you know me, it's in my nature. I just talk too much. Listen, if talking too much is making you sin, better go and learn how to bridle the tongue. There are people that can't keep secrets. Anything you tell them, the whole world knows. We describe that, you know him. If they describe you like that, it's not a good description. Do you follow my point? You train yourself. You see, I'm trying to emphasize something here. The first lesson for the life of Moses. Let me say it like this, all right? The first lesson. He said when he was young, his parents made the decisions for his life. Let me start with that. We'll go to the second one later. When he was young, his parents made the decisions. If you read my book, Choices, Key to Destiny, that's a summary of what that book is about. As a child, you have no control over your life. No control. Yes, you were born with some traits, as a matter of fact. But most of your habits will be either because nobody did anything about your bad traits, or because they deliberately formed a new habit into you. There's one of my junior colleagues. I was in a meeting yesterday and today. That's academic meeting. And I heard about the guy, you know, here and there. That don't mind him. He talks like an idiot. You know, talks like a fool. Those are the kind of comments you hear. And this guy is a specialist. So, yesterday was really my first time. No, this is a gathering of serious people. That's a summary of it. You know, you get in there. About four or five people that were not more than 25. All right. Okay, let's say 30 max. But five or six people there are professors. You understand my point? All of us are specialists. Every single one. Every single one. Specialists. Top people. Now he was amongst them. And then he said something. I turned. I looked at who spoke. Are you getting my point? Then the guy beside me. I tapped and said, who's that fellow? He told me his name. I said, is that him? That is, before I knew he was the one, I heard his reputation for his careless way of talking. Then I heard stupid talk amongst serious people. So I turned, like, who said that? Then he kept saying, he said, don't mind him. I said, who is that? He mentioned the name. I said, oh, so that is him. And the guy beside me said, don't mind him. Now, please, I mean no insult here, all right? I don't know where you're from. He said, he talks like a boy who grew up in Onitsha. Now, in fact, I said, don't be angry with me. I don't know where you grew up. If you grew up in Onitsha, here, say amen. The fellow telling me that, I think he also grew up somewhere around here. He said that, don't mind him that. Now, this is what he was trying to explain. That's how they normally are aggressive. They are fighters. They are used to guru everything, box, you know, grab, you know. And I just like, what was it? In fact, the time I was talking, he kind of interjected and said something. I almost told him, shut up. Don't worry, I'm a senior. There's nothing he will do to me. Now, the point is that I didn't say it like that. I just said, let me finish what I'm saying, then you can say what you have to say. That's how I answered him. I almost told him, will you shut your mouth? Now, this man, he has that reputation. Now, this is the explanation somebody gave me about it is where he grew up. Like I told you earlier, you may have grown up, I hear all the stories like that, in a family where there were two wives and 16 children, and all of you ate from one pot, and you had to fight for the meat. So all your life, you are suspicious of people, you are aggressive. If they bring banana, you grab it first. You know, you're that is, your life was formed for you. There are those that don't trust anybody. There was one sister was talking with me a few days ago, talking to me about, you know, some people and all of that, just, you know, relationships, that is, family people, you know. Said that maybe, I can't remember who said this to me now, but